All right, we're live. Tap and Birdie, Masters Week, live from Augusta, Georgia. Mr. Andy Lack, happy to be joined by you. You being at the Masters makes you better, so I'm sure you're pretty jacked up right now.
Yeah, dude, I gotta say, hot take. Augusta's a lot of fun.
Okay.
It definitely is a Disneyland for adults type feel. You get the sense walking around there that it's obviously not just a very special experience for me going with my dad for the first time, but kind of feels like everybody's having that same special experience with you, which I haven't been to too many places where you get that feeling. Bandon Dunes is a little bit like that, where everybody's kind of on their bucket list trip together. You get a little bit of that meeting people in Ireland. But I'm lucky enough to get to go to a lot of live golf. This is my fourth major in the last 2 years, and I go to a lot of tournaments, and it is truly, truly nothing like anything I've ever experienced before in terms of the atmosphere, the property, the scale of it all, the grandness of the property, the width. And I observed a lot. I was there for 9 hours walking the golf course. So I'm happy to get into whatever you want.
So what is your plan for the rest of the week? Are you going to the par three contest, practice rounds tomorrow? Are you going Thursday? Like, what do you got on tap for the rest of the week?
So, you know, I really enjoyed what I did today. And I think if you are in the, if you're in the business of what we are, which is trying to make money off of this golf tournament, then I would do exactly what I did today. Which is see a lot of golf.
Yeah.
A lot of guys play golf holes and a lot of guys practice. I don't think that there is a lot of value from a predictive nature in watching the par three contest.
Tom Hoagie repeating, is he even in the field? I mean, I need some locks for the par three contest, to be honest.
Right. I don't even know if you can bet on that, but here's the only thing. If Rory, I sent you the TikTok that I made of Rory and Poppy at the par three contest. If Rory was playing the par three contest with Poppy and Erica, I would probably go check it out. But this is a business trip. And today was a lot of business for the gang. So I walked every hole on the course, which was really, really fun to see. Like, if you do the whole routing from start to finish and really walk, I got so lucky in the sense that I was on the range and the putting green for a while watching guys. I watched Scotty putt for a long time.
How do you look?
He looked great, man.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah. Scotty looked really good.
Okay. I can
get into some of the reasons why I thought he looked good compared to other players, but you know, it was a dream day because I got onto you walk in and there's the merchandise, which is its whole own thing. I mean, we got there early, and I would recommend, if you are ever doing it, hit the merchandise first, because that line, we were probably in there for 2 hours.
What?
Yeah, it's like nothing I've ever seen before.
2 hours to get merch?
Yeah, easily 2 hours to get merch.
And you went early, so if you went midday, you're in there 3-4 hours.
And the supply dwindles as well. So I bought out the whole thing.
You love a good pro shop. Like, you love a good pro shop. So I'm not surprised that
I bought Augusta, you
ran up a tab.
I bought like dog bowls for all five dogs in Natalie's family. I bought presents for Kyle's family, who I haven't met yet, that I'm staying with in Hilton Head this weekend. I got stuff for the listeners. You know, it's a truly ridiculous pro shop. Anyway, but the point is, you get past the pro shop and you get to the practice area, and I step onto the practice area, and the first guy I see is Scottie Scheffler. And so I'm like, Dad, I feel like we should watch this for a while and just get our Scotty fix in now. And so we watched Scotty practice for a long time. And then I went over to the range and, you know, the first guy I saw in the range that brought tears to my eyes was Stu Hagestand.
Stewie Hags.
He was
40-year-old investment banker.
You know, and I tell you what, if you watch Stu, he was hitting balls next to Patrick Reed. You wouldn't be able to tell who won the Masters. I mean, Stu is an absolute flusher. He was dropping pitching wedges into like a 2-foot circle. But anyway, long story short, because I have a lot of questions for you, because I wasn't on the internet all day.
Yeah.
But you know, I got really lucky because I got to see all these guys practice. And then I said, Dad, let's walk the course. And we go to the first hole and Sahith, Zalatoris, and Hovland are teeing off playing a practice round. And I said, well, let's just walk with them and follow them for 9 holes. We get to follow them for 9 holes, get to the 9th hole, and Rory fucking McIlroy and Ludvig Aubert are teeing off on 10. So I walked the whole front with Zal Hovland and Sahith, and then watched Rory and Ludvig play the back, which I got to say, my soul left my body. Yeah. I think Rory shot 28 on the back. Like it's not even a bit.
Not a bit.
Those guys are playing a different game. Rory shot
28 on the back, underdog golf.
he hit it, you know, whatever. And I know that the way that Rory and Ludvig hit the ball doesn't translate into them winning golf tournaments, but I mean, they truly hit the ball in a different way. So does Bryson too. I watched a lot of Bryson. I caught a lot of Bryson.
The big golfer.
We'll get to as well. But I have so many questions for you. I haven't been on the internet. I haven't bet anyone this week. I don't know what ownership is. What's going on? What are people saying?
How were you today? Like no phone. Do you think it adds to the experience or do you think it hurts the experience that you can't be on your phone on the property? Like what is your take on no phones at Augusta?
Totally in. And okay. I'll tell you why. It keeps you very present. I think if I had my cell phone, I would have been texting. I would have been on Twitter and I was able to consume and watch way more golf today because I didn't have my phone. I mean, the only negative of it is that it was really lucky that me and Kobe saw each other because there's no freaking way to, and we saw, I mean, I ran into, you know, we're following Rory and Bryson is playing with Carl Schwartzel behind Rory. So I say, I kind of want to see a little bit of Bryson. And we hang back to watch a little bit of Bryson. And I look over at Kobe and I said, I think that's the Donald Jr. And what do you...
Don Jr.
And what do you know? Donnie Jr. and his daughter just standing right next to us, just consuming a little golf, watching Bryson play the 13th hole. Was Donnie Jr. and his daughter. I'm glad my dad left at that time, you know, fuck the liberal MSNBC. Right. But didn't want to start a scene over there, but, we ran into like Dan Orlovsky was watching golf shots today. Yeah. I ran into Rappaport. I saw some of the fried egg guys.
Shout out Danny asking some great questions in the, press pool. He's been killing it. Gotta shout out our boy Danny Rapp.
It's really cool because you're in this place where everybody is there for the same reason. Right. And I think the no phones is additive to that.
Yeah.
Because you're all kind of in it together. Like I had so many great conversations with people today that I met mostly in the line for the merchandise that this is like their Super Bowl times 100. Like this was like the happiest day of their life. And it was the happiest day of my life too. So, you know, hot take, go to the Masters before you die, but it,
like you
it
would play the course,
play the course. I could do like 8-hour podcasts on the course, but I don't want to, you know, take it over. I have questions for you.
Well, honestly, like kind of the first thing I want to talk about and like, you're asking like, what's going on today? Like what happened today? I know you watched him on the back, but some things about Rory. So Rory was the last golfer to enter the property. And they know because the caddy bibs are numbered. So he was number 89. I think there's 90 guys in the field. Maybe there was one guy after him. But I thought that was really interesting given what he did last year, talking about how he, you know, played 81 holes in the past 3 months. Plays the Valero the week before, plays really well, good approach numbers. Last guy at the Masters, like, no big deal. And then the best part, he didn't even do a presser. He did 10 minutes, showed up late, like, didn't tell anyone he was going, bamboozled the media, answered 3 questions, said, I'm out. Shoots 28 on the back. So I'm just, you know, I don't want to, like, I know you're in, but like, I'm just letting you know, like, I'm in on Rory this week.
There's something different. I got to get my phone out because Kobe wrote it down and texted me some of the stuff. I should have brought a notepad. I'm going to bring a notepad yesterday and just take notes.
Just take like notes NFL GM at the combine. At the combine. Just writing shit down.
Taking notes. But on Rory's back nine. And by the way, like, Rory was giving Ludvig tons of pointers. I think Ludvig's going to have a really good week. Ludvig murders the ball. And Rory was... And Ludvig good at golf, and Rory was driving it 25 yards past him at some points.
Are you serious?
Rory was hit one tight on 14, greenside and 2 on 15, gets up and down, correct level on 16, misses the putt, middle of the fairway 17, 20 foot putt, gets angry because he hit it to 20 feet on 17, then makes the putt on 17, middle of the fairway on 18, 12 feet, just misses the putt, angry about his approach shot, ended his day on the putting green and made 21 straight 6-footers. Which is saying Kobe. I left after he finished 18. Kobe said he watched him on the putting green, and he was just standing there draining 6-footers. You know, it's Rory. So,
it's Rory at the Masters. It's like fucking Bigfoot.
But you know, why not us, man? There's something in the air this week. It's special. He has a bounce in his step. And I can talk about some of the other golfers that didn't have a bounce in their step, but you know, he's having fun showing Ludvig what to do out there. I thought that was kind of an interesting dynamic where in the past you've seen Rory like play practice rounds with Tiger and play practice rounds with Fred Couples and like ask them questions. Yeah. And there was a little bit this year of Rory being like, okay, I'm the fucking guy. I'm the guy, and I'm going to show you what to do here. And you know, it made my heart pretty damn full. So, you know, we'll talk about a million other things. I don't want to do any more on.
No, because honestly, like I was really like, I felt like, you know, I don't know what the story of the day was, but I definitely felt like that was an important thing today, just like kind of how Rory is going about this week. And obviously everyone's making the joke he's coming to the Masters any way, shape or form you could want, but I kind of like this approach. Like, again, not betting him, like, you know, not doing anything like that, but you know, I'm in. Like, doesn't matter, live PGA, fucking LPGA, Saudi, like, it would be good for golf if Rory McIlroy contended this week. Like, golf needs it. Like, I think it would be really important for everybody. And, you know, he's just been, you know, off and on here over the past couple of years. But I really think of Rory contention, like, even just Thursday 69 would do wonders for the game. And I'm excited for that. But I know it's not maybe the hottest topic, but did you pick up any course condition, weather type vibe as to how you think the course is going to play this week? I've been monitoring the weather. From my understanding, it is going to rain from whatever, 6 a.m. to about 2:30, like 2 o'clock, 3 on Thursday. And that should really be the only delays or weather that they are going to have this week. Friday looks very windy all day. Saturday and Sunday, very, very scoreable conditions. I don't know how soft it's going to make the course from Thursday, but any course condition thoughts, any overall thoughts on the weather and the course condition?
Yeah. You know, we got some rain this morning. So when we woke up, there was a little bit of rain and it was overcast all day. And the course was still pretty firm. But I would say as we sit here on Tuesday night, I asked around some of the guys that live there that are in the hospitality area that we were in. You know, if a weather forecast is showing this on Tuesday night, like, how likely is it that we see any form of change at this point on Tuesday night? And they said, it's going to rain Wednesday night. The extent of that rain, we'll see. But if you're asking me what my prediction is that the tournament's just going to start late, or maybe a couple guys that tee off early are going to get boned with having to play in a little bit of rain. But this tournament is not going to go on as scheduled. I would be pretty shocked if it did. I don't know what I was thinking about that of like, if Thursday is just a complete wash, what happens to my ticket? but yeah, I think there's a chance that Thursday is going to be a complete
wash. I think they'll play. No, I think they'll play Thursday. Like I'm seeing rain stopping like around like two. Like I think at least they could play.
Okay.
After
so
that.
They'll get, like, yeah. They'd have to, if it's a torrential downpour, it'd take a little time after the rain to dry out the course. Cause you know, the course is all these peaks and valleys. So water's going to collect.
Was it the toughest walk how tough of a walk is it? Was it the toughest walk of 18 holes you've had?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I wasn't hitting golf shots out there, so I got to take some shortcuts, but, they're elevate. I mean, this is like the most boring take because anybody that goes to the Masters says TV doesn't do it justice, but, the take holds, valid take. I don't know if I've been watching the Masters since I was 5 years old. I don't know if I've ever realized that there's like a massive drop between the six tee and the six green. Do you think of six as like one of the most dramatic holes on the golf course?
No.
Six has some of the most dramatic land on the entire golf course. One, I need to like go back into the numbers. One is impossible. Like, I don't know how an amateur doesn't make eight on one. You go into those bunkers and like Zalatoris went into he hit in the bunker on one and the guy just disappears. Like the bunkers, they're bigger than all of the golfers and the green. I mean, you have to hit it onto this little tabletop green that falls off on all sides. I don't know how an amateur makes under a 10 on one. You know, me and Kobe were joking. Could a scratch? I'm like a 2 handicap. Could I break 100 here? I'm saying no.
From the members tees?
I don't know how short the members tees are, but
I think they're like 65.
I think scratch golfer, any good golfer that thinks they're going to shoot in the 70s here is fucking nuts. Cause the golf course is just, and the other thing that I will say about it too is, and I'm glad I got to see it because my friend Joseph Almagna has been kind of banging this to me for a while about like, hey, it's not as wide as people say, and you're going to be in the fairway sometimes and have no angle to a green. And you felt that like there's some pretty uncomfortable tee shots there. And there's some pretty uncomfortable spots to be in. I factored into my numbers a little bit this week, like positioning, but I didn't get the, just
wide open. Bomb. Anywhere.
No, I don't think the players approach it that way either. Like the conversations on the tee box, at least in the Zalatoris Sahith group, the Zalatoris Sahith Hovland group, they had a lot of different things they were trying on different tee shots. And that's because I think it's a golf course that engages you. So anyway, I have a lot of questions for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So what are people on Twitter saying is going to happen at the 2024 Masters? Like, what's been the, what have been the vibes on Twitter today?
Like, I, you know, it's tough for me to say. I don't think there's been anything massive. I mean, I think in general, people are betting like the same, like five or six guys that like feel comfortable and safe, that are playing well. Like, I think Xander, Decky, Lowry, Cam Young, Zal.
Can we pause on Xander? Can we pause on Xander for a second? So, yeah. Like, how many of these people that told me Xander was like the biggest loser ever are just betting him this week?
No, it's very surprising, the Xander love. I mean, to me, at 22 to 1, like, I think that makes a ton of sense. 14. But now that he's like 14 to 16, like, it's really tough because the narrative after the Players, you know, even though he shot -2 in the final group, and finished one shot out of a playoff and got run down by the, you know, one of the best players, the best player right now, is that like Xander's a complete loser, like he's never going to win. So I'm honestly a bit surprised by all the Xander love, especially at this number. But I think that there's not a lot of great clicks this week and not a lot of people that, you know, think, you know, these person's going to win the Masters. And I think for whatever reason with Xander, people think that it's his time and he's going to turn around what happened at the Players, and he can't poke holes in any of his actual golf. It's just the actual closing on Sunday.
Yeah. And I think Xander is probably the second most likely golfer in this field to finish top five, right? Outside of Scheffler. I'm just surprised that so many people are deciding that he's going to win now. It would make me really happy. I love Xander. I missed a 20 and I don't know what I'm going to do with the 25% of him in daily fantasy. But I was shocked that in the markets, he is getting killed. And has the Brooks number gone down at all?
No, he's been hovering around 20. I think Brooks presser was like kind of weird today. Like,
how so?
It wasn't really that weird. Like, he just seemed like very like on edge and angry, which I think is pretty standard, but it wasn't like, there were no like cocky Brooks quotes like, I'm going to win by five today. Like, it just was kind of like defensive, like nothing really crazy about it. And then I think everyone was like, Hovland's presser was the worst thing I ever watched.
So I watched a ton of Hovland. So talk to me about that. Why did people say it was?
Well, he was just talking about how he's not practicing his short game because he's practicing his long game currently. And there were a bunch of questions about his coach. And, you know, he just did the whole, like, I like to learn a lot from a lot of different people. But I think the biggest takeaways from the pressers today were that Hovland just has absolutely no chance. So why do you think Hovland kind of has no chance after watching him today?
I'll say this about Hovland. He still makes a crazy sound with his driver. The one thing that I will say about Hovland versus Zalatoris and Sahith to a certain extent, but I liked Zalatoris the most out of that group.
Hell yeah.
Hovland looked like he was practicing out there, and Zalatoris and Sahith looked like they were playing. If that makes any sense. Yeah. Hovland, you know, in these practice rounds, what they basically do is they hit their drive, then they hit their shot to the green, and then they allow them 15 minutes around the green to hit different shots and different putts. So it's really cool what the caddies do. The caddies go in and they place down little cups on the greens, and then the guys just start hitting like rapid fire, like little mini shots to each green. And it looked like to me like Hovland was grinding the most out of their guy. You know, Zalatoris, you'll like this.
Are you betting Zalatoris? Yes, right?
I don't know. I haven't bet anyone besides Rory.
It seems like logical. Like, he's 45 to 1.
Oh, is
like,
he?
Yes, he's drifted up.
Okay.
So, like,
maybe.
For me, because Andy, you know, we're good friends. Like, we've hung out a lot. Like, you're a very practical person, and on Golf Weeks, you like to have all your kind of ducks in a row. Like, I need to have my DK article done by this time. I need to have my betting article done. I could just, as soon as you went this way, I'm like, Andy is going to be so behind. So I appreciate you coming on tonight, but I feel like Zal 45 is like a logical bet as to what you saw today, where his number is, and like what you have room for on your card.
Yeah. Zalatoris on one. We're walking down the fairway on one, and I noticed that Zalatoris is walking, or that Zalatoris's girlfriend, fiance, wife.
She's like skinny blonde.
Yep. She's walking with Sahith's girlfriend, fiance, wife, who also seems lovely. Sahith, by the way, is living in a house this week with Finau and Rom, which I thought was interesting. I don't know if Finau's like, is that like a 15 bedroom with Finau's kids, or is Finau? I feel like Scotty and Scheffler are bunking in a one bedroom together, just
because Rom has two kids too.
So I just, Sahith's
factor
wife,
into your models.
Sahith's wife slash girlfriend said, yeah, we're living with the Roms and Finau's this week, and it's certainly interesting. But I don't know if Natalie will know this more than I, if Finau brought his entire squad of children. Anyway, Zalatoris is walking up to the green on one, and he notices his fiance or girlfriend or whatever. I'm just going to say fiance. And he walks up to her in the crowd. Zalatoris does this. He walks up to his fiance in the crowd and he says, hey, you're really cute. Can I get your number?
No way.
I swear to God. And it was like, it was like the corniest thing I've ever seen. But at the same time, he pulled it off. Like it was really endearing.
Zalfox.
And the crowd went nuts. And he like did it with so much confidence because he knows she's beautiful and everyone sees she's beautiful. And so he walks into where all of the patrons are and makes this joke, giving his number to, you know, his fiance, and the crowd goes nuts. And it's like, that guy's might win the Masters. Like that's the difference. It's like Zalatoris and Rory were like bouncing around the course today.
Yeah.
Like they were walking, they were playing golf. You know, some of the other guys, they didn't look like, and I asked my dad the same thing. I was like, if this Sahith, Zalatoris, Hovland group, like which one of them looks ready to win a golf tournament? And he was like, Zalatoris. So if you could put that in for me, I don't have anyone else besides Rory.
Yeah, so
no,
I could bet that for you.
I'll bet Zal.
He's definitely drifted up. I have to make an announcement to my loyal followers and listeners of Tib. Everyone kind of knows my history with Scotty Scheffler and what he's done to me and the pain he's caused in my life. You know, I've obviously been, you know, waiting for the Masters week, thinking about who to bet. You know, it's not like I need to wait to the week before to know what I need to do. So I bet Scotty Scheffler. I'm betting Scotty Scheffler single bullet this week. I am betting no other golfers. This is the first time I've bet on Scotty since he won Waste Management. No, I actually bet him at the US Open where he lost. But he was 6.5 to 1, 6 to 1 on Better Golf Odds. I know everyone doesn't have, you know, it's not on DraftKings or anything, but to me, that was too good of a number to pass up with Scotty Scheffler. And, you know, I know you talked about it back in December. He was your pick to win, so that could be an easy Vic lap for you. Mm-hmm. But for me, there was just certain guys that Augusta treats well, and that Augusta kind of like is their spot, and they pick up a majority of their majors there. Bubba, Phil, VJ, like Faldo. Like there are certain guys where the Masters and them just connect. And to me, the Masters is absolutely perfect for Scotty Scheffler. I think he has a great chance to win all the other majors, but I think Scotty retires with two or three green jackets. And I think this year, the way he's been playing, the way the tour has been playing, the kind of the confidence going on in his life, no baby yet, like Meredith's pregnant currently, which we can talk about.
Yeah, what'd you think about the New York Post article?
Like, I, this is not a joke. If Scottie Scheffler withdraws from the Masters and I bet on him and he's like in the mix and he legitimately withdraws because his wife got pregnant, I will retire from golf betting. And that's not even, that's not a joke. Like, I'm not joking. If I decide to not bet anybody in the field but Scottie and finally put $500 on him and he withdraws to be with his wife, I will retire from golf betting. That is not a bit. And I will never, maybe not, but like, I'm definitely never fucking bet Scottie again in my whole life. But you talked about it before. Guys win the Masters every other year a lot. And
yeah,
if Phil can do it, if Bubba can do it, I love it. And I'm not going to give any statistical arguments for Scottie, but like, I really like his vibe this week. Like,
yeah, it's good.
Sunday night, he's like at the members range with Faldo, like hitting crazy hooks and like crazy draws, just like dicking around with Faldo. Like, he just seems like very happy and like joyful. And I think he's going to fucking win. And I don't feel like betting a bunch of losers that I don't think can win instead of Scottie if I think he's going to win. So I'm not betting anyone else. I have a Poston 340-1 ticket. It's a two-man card. I've never done this before, but I'm riding with Scottie this week.
Well, you should also just mention that you got Scottie at 6-1, which is an incredible bet. And I talked about Scottie at this event when I did my December preview. You know, if I wasn't going to the Masters, I would probably do the exact same thing as you. You know, the me going to the Masters has made things a little bit more confusing for me because it's like, I like Rory at Valhalla more than I like him this week, but like, I'm going, I have to bet Rory. You know, if I, here's the thing about Scottie. He lost 4 strokes putting last year and finished 10th at the Masters. You know, that you have to assume on the low end, that's his floor. I was kind of talking about this with, they had Golf Central on where we were, the area that we were before we go to the course, and they were, you know, Brandel was doing his thing and he was talking about like Scottie can win by 6 or 8 or whatever. I was hearing him talk and I was like, I gotta be honest. I don't think it's like a bad take. I think it's in the range of outcomes that Scott, the last Masters that Scottie won, he basically won by 5.
He won by 3 and 4 putted the last hole.
Yeah. Put it this way, and this is maybe more of an argument for why I'm playing him in DFS, but I think the range with Scottie is very, very conservative, low end, 10th, if things go horribly wrong, and high end, like I think he wins by 4 or 5 strokes. And as much as I love Rory and as much as Rory looked great and as much as I believe in Rahm and Rahm looked good today too, I don't think winning by 5 or 6 strokes is in the range of outcomes for those guys. I think it's heavily in the range of outcomes that they can win. But I think with Scottie, the range of outcomes is like 10th, you know, everything in between. And this is over on Friday afternoon, which it kind of was that Masters, if you remember.
Yes.
And we had that conversation. I remember exactly where I was. I was having dinner and I was like, Brian, is it over? And you were like, yes. And I was like, no, it's not. And guess what? It was.
Yeah.
So we don't need to lather it on Scottie anymore, but I'm with you. The last thing I'll say about Scottie really quickly, what was interesting to me about him on the putting green today is a lot of guys you see do putting drills where they line up a bunch of tees and they hit the same putt over and over again. You want to know what Scottie was doing? Was he would go to a hole, hit one putt there, and then go to a completely different hole and hit another putt. And what I liked about that was it felt like Scottie was simulating golf shots. Like Scottie was playing golf out there and other guys were practicing technique. And times in the past, we've seen Scottie practice technique with his putter. And it showed me that he wasn't out there trying to hit a ball through two tiny tees. Like he wasn't working on a stroke. He was working on trying to hit what. So I, you know, it was very encouraging to me.
So I know we talked about Rory. We could touch on him more. I'm very out on Rom. I just think defending champs, like, just historically do not play well here. Guys that, you know, really contended hard don't play well the next year. I think Champions Dinner is a massive thing. And I just think upending the world of golf in between, like, probably doesn't help his chances. I would be surprised if Jon Rahm straight up contends this week. I know that you think the pendulum maybe has swung a little bit too far, but you seem to be a little bit higher on Rahm than consensus.
Well, let me ask you this question. Did you watch his presser today?
Yeah, I did.
Did it seem like he had a chip on his shoulder? Did it seem like there was a little bulletin board material there?
I don't know. I think that could only do so much. I mean, like, you really want to win the Masters. Like, personally, I don't think he gives a fuck what Brandel Chambly says on Golf Channel. Like, I don't think that, like, helps him win. Like, I just think if it was fucking Tiger, okay, maybe not Tiger on his peak, but, like, normally I'm just, as a consensus, I'm just out on defending champs. And, like, I just think he's gonna put up a stinker.
Well, I can't say I watched, like, a ton of his golf shots today. He was randomly playing with Højgaard. Like,
yeah, they were partners at the Ryder Cup.
Okay, maybe not more random than I would think. But I didn't get to watch a ton of him. I think it's just, like, an unbelievable golf course fit for Rahm. Like, yeah. I think we forget how good his short game is. Let me ask you this question. What would surprise you more if Rahm goes back to back? I know the easy answer is Rahm because of the odds, but what would surprise you more if Rahm goes back to back or if Ludvig or Wyndham win as a first timer?
I think it would surprise me more if Rahm won back to back, but it's close for me.
Yeah.
Because I really think it's tough, but I just think, like, those are not normal debutants. And I actually think Wyndham's a great course fit. And I think this is a place he could contend heavy and win maybe in his life. I'm very high on Wyndham this week. Like, I really think that Wyndham can put himself in the mix 100%. And I don't think being a debutant really has any inclination. And I think his presser was awesome. He's like, first thing he said, like, yeah, like, I know a debutante's never won here, but, like, I'm going to change that trend this week, and, like, fuck, it doesn't matter to me. So I'm in on Wyndham. Like, I'm in on Wyndham on DraftKings. Like, I just think Wyndham Clark, like, I even though you scare me a little bit, like, I like a Wyndham over Ludvig matchup, to be completely honest. Brooks, at the beginning of the week, for me, was, like, just the most obvious, easy pick in the entire world. You're getting a guy that won a major championship last year, that finished runner-up to Rahm last year, a guy that always contends in major championships, at 20-1. And he goes out and he puts up a stinker at Live Miami. Shout out to Al. And he switches to a mallet putter, like, the week before. And people are, like, still like Brooks, but I think kind of opinion has changed a little bit, where people aren't as hot to be on him. And I think people are getting some sour feelings about him. I'm never going to doubt Brooks Koepka in a major, but based on the fact, I think it's very hard to contend 2 years in a row at Augusta. And I think the data points to that.
You know, the one group that I didn't get to watch that I really wanted to watch was Xander Cantlay and Brooks played together today.
That.
And I really, you know, they were on the other side of the, they were kind of opposite to me, but, I'm really surprised why the 20-1 hasn't moved. He's getting boosted, and it feels oddly like they're trying to bait you into betting Brooks, and I'm not betting Brooks. I'm not playing Brooks. I have a lot of respect for Brooks. I think we have these experiences in golf where, you know, you got Scotty, like, ate your lunch at the Players, and you just have a newfound respect for Scotty after the Players. Being at Oak Hill in the rain, you were there too, and, like, heavily doubting Brooks before Oak Hill and saying he didn't have a chance, and then watching him just stomp on my face. I'm I got a lot of respect from the guy.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of him. I just like, I don't like him. You just can't play them all. You can't come
can't
on
play
here.
Them all.
Can't come on here on this podcast and say, I like everyone. So I like him a little bit less than Rory and Scheffler and Rahm.
Deck your speed this week.
Ooh, that's tough. Decky was the guy where I was like, he makes the most sense in the world and he's going to let everybody down. But then I caught a couple shots of him and he looked like he was in the frickin' zone. He was hitting these like very artisanal chip shots around the green. I think he loves this place. I'm going to say Decky, but I don't feel great about it.
I'm in the same boat. As you, I definitely like,
I didn't see any Spieth today. What are people saying about Spieth?
I don't know. I think that he's always a popular bet here. He had a really great ball striking week last year at the Valero Texas Open. It's, you know, he kind of does his thing here every year. And he's coming in with decent form. I like it. I don't really think Jordan Spieth's going to win another major and as good. Like, I just feel like his odds are super inflated just given his history. And I think that if this was any other course, he's more like a 35, 40 to one type guy. So to me, like, I'm not really rushing to bet him.
Okay. Just real quick, I want to touch on these guys because we got to move down. Like a hypothetical three ball, Neiman, Hovland, Cantlay.
I don't know what to make of Neiman. In my opinion, I think Neiman's odds are lower that he's on LIV than if he were on the PGA Tour, which doesn't make sense. Like, I feel like he's getting extra respect from the books because he was like a late ad and he won twice on LIV and he like won in Australia earlier in the year. Like, in my opinion, Joaquin Neiman is not a 28-1 golfer. Like, he's just not. Like, I don't think that. The guy's never had, he's had 20 major starts. He doesn't have one career top 15 in a major in 20 starts. Like, it's not like he's early in his career in major championships. And I just think after everything he's done on LIV, like to come out and contend at Augusta would just be a massive ass. So like, I'm personally out on Jocko and I think he's a bad number. I like Pat the most out of that three ball. I don't think he's been as bad as people think this year. And he always hits the ball well at Augusta, but he does have problems putting here.
Yeah. I'm warming to Cantlay. I'm not playing any of them. I don't have even in DraftKings, like I don't have room for any of them, but I'm warming to Pat. I
personally think Pat's play has been a little bit overrated. Like, I still think he's pretty good at golf. And a couple months ago, he had a 5-stroke lead going into the, Saturday of Genesis. So, you know, I think Pat will be fine. I know you like Tony Finau, given kind of the way he's been hitting the ball recently. I know, you know, the ownership and DraftKings would probably be pretty high. He's currently 40-1. Where are you at betting Tony Finau outright to win this golf tournament this week? Are you at least debating it?
Yeah. Well, I think if Zhao is 45 and Finau is 40, that's stupid. I'm taking Zhao over Finau in that 10 times out of 10. Is Finau really just hanging out at 40? All week?
Tony Finau is 40. He hasn't moved. He's low on Bet Rivers, which is usually a good sign if you like believe in that stuff. But I think he's pretty much been at 40. But Zhao has drifted a little bit. Actually, I think DraftKings just has a really good number on Zhao. Like, he's 33 on other books. He's 25 on other books. He's 35. Like, 45 is like a very good number.
And
like,
can I ask you one final question? What is Cameron Young? Because I have to choose two of the three.
Two of the three, Cam Young is 55.
That's pretty good, too.
Yeah. So I think you could fit.
I don't think I can fit 13, 55, 45, 40, but I think I can fit two of the three. Yeah.
I mean, so give me the Finau case.
Well, I talked about this on the podcast with Kobe, but, Finau switched driver shafts before the Houston Open. And what did he do at the Houston Open? He finished second, missing a 2-foot putt on 16, which cost me a ton of money, to miss out on the playoff by one and gained over five strokes off the tee. Tony Finau hit the ball better than Scottie Scheffler at the Houston Open. Okay.
He's better than Scottie.
He's not better than Scottie, but Tony Finau with the correct driver should be one of the best.
With the correct Ventus shaft smoke.
With the right. With the optimized driver for Tony Finau's skill set, he should be one of the 5 to 10 best drivers of the ball in the world. And I think some of the stats that people may have earlier in the season are a little skewed by the fact that he wasn't using the right driver. And now that he is using the right driver, he finished second at Houston, which is very Augusta codified. I also just really love his fit on this golf course. I don't know what shocks you more if on Sunday afternoon, just pure win, like what are you saying more like on your television? You're thinking to yourself, what just happened? Rahm is slipping on the green jacket on Cameron Young, or Rahm is slipping the green jacket on Finau?
I could see Finau more. But I genuinely think that, like, in a perfect world, unbiased, like, Cam Young has a better chance to win.
Okay.
So, yeah. Andy, I'll help you out. I know you got a lot of shit going on. 13, 45, 55, and 80 is 7X.
Wait, 14?
13.
Okay, yeah, 13.
13, 45, 55, and 80 is 7X.
Okay, so I do have to choose two of the three.
Yeah, I think.
And then I'll have some room for one bomb.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, 13, 40, 45, and 50. There might be some better numbers on Bookmaker is 6.4. I personally think that you're at the Masters. You're a very stringent better. Like, you could have a 6.4.
Hit Jaeger 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you're well. Fine. Yeah. You're fine.
Yeah, maybe I'll do. I'm doing the Capper and Steve right after this. So maybe if one of them talks, but yeah, screw it.
Cam Young, I said it. Cam Young, first round leader. Everyone's texting me, brokers at work, people, my bosses. Who do you like for the Masters? Cam Young, first round leader. Bet Cam Young, first round leader. Can he win? No, probably not. I think Cam Young putted well here last year. The ball striking is amazing. He's been first round leader in major championships before. I could just see it. I just see it. A lot of guys on their second appearance at Augusta have been first round leader. I love it. I love it. I love Finau too. I love Zal too. I like Russ Henley, first round leader as well. Yeah. I like Lowry, first round leader. Lowry, I'm a bit surprised by his odds. I think Lowry
kinda,
at 55. Kind of
out on the 20% in DraftKings.
I mean, he's definitely underpriced. But 55-1 on a guy that's gained like over four strokes on approach in his last three starts and finished top 20 like last 3 years here. Like, I like Lowry this week. First round leader, don't think he could win. Can't bet him. So it's kind of moot for me. What were your thoughts on Thiegs? Do you think Thiegs can win? Do you think Thiegs will win a green jacket in his career?
Yeah, absolutely. Thiegs was kind of like in the middle between Hovland and Zalatoris. Like, he was playing golf out there. He hit a couple squirrely ones, which is going to happen. I don't think that the people playing Thiegs at 20% on DraftKings can just pencil in him finishing top 20. Thiegs has a floor, but I also think he could contend. Like, I'm not going to play 20% Thiegs in DraftKings, but I'm trying to figure out, like, first round later, top 20 bet where you don't have to, you know, worry about hashtag leverage. I'm still high on him. I think
top 20 is good.
Yeah, I will say, like, everybody just deciding that Thiegs is the play. I don't know if I'm there. I like him. I don't know if I like him. Not a DraftKings show, I know, but don't you feel like it feels like with the Masters, again, I haven't been online as much. Feels like everybody just like made the decision that it's Thiegs and Xander week. We just decided and
I just think the Masters is different because there's only so many guys you actually think can win.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of guys that you could just say they're a good course fit here. Yeah. And like, there's just less options, like, in my opinion. Obviously,
are you surprised if Sahith wins?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. I'm surprised if he wins.
Like, I think top 20 is like top 20 in your fucking pool or whatever. Like, I like these. Like, I think like he's kind of a good.
Who's the longest guy that you think can win?
I mean, I don't think. Like, I don't think he can win. But, I mean, Patrick Reed could win at 80.
Yeah. Patrick Reed, like, doesn't pass the eye test. I'm telling you right now, watching him on the Rage next to Stu Hagestan, I was like, which one of these guys is the major champion? Patrick Reed just hits the ball very low, but he doesn't have the pop. But one of the things you notice from walking around there is the edge that you will be able to create if you can get up and down from some of these spots. And, you know, Patrick Reed statistically is like maybe the best Augusta putter of the last 5 years. Yeah. So I'm still interested. He won't win.
Like, I'm just saying, like, maybe, like, I don't think Harmon.
Can I tell you who looked like hit a couple beautiful shots today?
Akros?
Who I think could win. Adam Scott.
Shut up. He can't win.
Okay. I was just saying, he, like, there was an all Aussie.
Well, like, DK. You're in?
Sure. Yep.
How Cam Smith look? I don't even know. I didn't see much of him.
A little bit of him. It, you know, it was Cam Smith, Adam Scott, Jason Day, Minwoo. Minwoo murders the ball. Minwoo is like 50 yards past Cam Smith. Minwoo murders the ball. You know, with Cam Smith, like, he didn't look bad. Like, I don't think he has food poisoning or anything. I
shout out Terrell.
Yeah, shout out Terrell. I'm not gonna play Cam Smith, but you know, he sucked the life out of my soul, Brian. You know that. St. Andrews is like the worst sports day of my life. So I've got respect for his game. I'm familiar with your game and I respect it. Yeah. But it's not for me this week.
No, that's fine. He's drifted a bunch.
What is he drifted to? Is he like 45?
I think higher.
Is Cantlay 50? Can you get Cantlay 50-1?
Yeah. Cam Smith is 55. Cantley's 40-1. He might be like higher on Bookmaker or something. Are you in on Cantley?
It's just high,
DK,
man.
DK leverage.
Yeah, DK leverage. Although,
I'll play Pat.
Not to turn this into a DK show, but what I think I'm doing in DK is I'm playing 33% Scheffler, 33% Rory, and 33% Rahm, and never together. I just can't choose. I like them all.
Okay.
And I think the lineups are bad when you play them together. Yeah. I think you're asking for
four. So, like, who's like your second man in with Scotty normally?
Finau and Cam Young.
Okay. So, like, you wouldn't play like.
Would you play
Rory and Xander together?
Nope. I'll tell you what my pool is right now. I'm going Scotty, Rahm, Rory, Ludvig, Finau, Cam Young. Those are the only guys
so
I'm playing above
eight. Skipping like high nines.
I'm fading Xander, Brooks, Clark, Neiman, Hovland, Cantlay, Spieth, Zal, Hideki, Cam Smith, DJ.
Zal?
It's Ludvig or Zal. I mean, I got to choose one of them.
What? If there's one guy I would want to bet, it's Zal. Like, I love.
Yeah,
Zal,
that's what I'm saying. So I'll hedge. I'll bet Zal and play Ludvig.
I'll bet the 45 for you. It might actually
okay,
be
thank
hard,
you.
But I'll bet that 45 for you. I don't know what else you.
And I'll be in touch with you and Kyle about if it's Cam. It's gonna be a late night for me.
Kind of like over 100, like few guys that you're playing down here. I really like Ekrot. Like, I think Ekrot will be around this week. Like, last guy in your pool. I like Sepp Straka. I know you like Sepp Straka. Mm-hmm. I think Sepp Straka, shout out O'Kill, Georgia guy. Like, he makes sense to me. Taylor Moore. What's the Taylor Moore case? We do know that Georgia went blue in 2020.
Georgia went a real swing state, too.
And, it's purple.
And let me tell you right now, the Donald Jr. was out here, you know, kissing babies, and he was, you know, he was yucking it
factor
up.
Factor that into your poll number.
Yeah, Donald Trump Jr. was out there on 13 following Bryson and yucking it up with
the patrons.
Yeah, with all the patrons out there. I just we decided Taylor Moore at 12% is like better than Luke West. I don't know. I don't know. I just think Luke West almost a hole in one for Luke West on six today.
Yeah, he's a ball striking bastard.
I didn't witness this, but Kobe told me that there was like a wild scene with Kitayama on 12. Like he like wouldn't leave the green because he wasn't chipping it or making the putt that he wanted to make the putt. So he was playing with Maronk, and Maronk was like, "What's going on, dude? Are we going to keep going?" Kitayama's like, "I'm not fucking leaving." Like Kitayama was just trying to figure it out, and seems like a mental case. I don't know.
I like
seems like searching for something.
I've always liked Poston here. Great chipper, great putter, Georgia guy. Only thing I will say, he just had a kid. So that's not ideal, but I still like Poston as kind of a lower guy. Like, who's the last man? So you're out on.
I'm out on Moore at that ownership.
What about a 6,200 Denny?
No. Why is he 10%? I'd rather play Glover.
Because he's the same price as Zach Johnson. Okay. I'm not even joking. I like Zach Johnson 6,100. He's been.
Yeah, I'd rather play Hagestad. I didn't see ZJ wasn't on property today. Where is ZJ? Like, I mean,
he's in the Masters dinner.
Hagestad's putting in the work. You know, Hagestad played with Fowler today in a practice round. I think
that just shows everything wrong with.
There's a little there's a little Gary Woodland buzz too.
Well, how is he in the field?
Gary Woodland?
Yeah.
Gary Woodland, Stu Hagestad, and Ricky Fowler. There were a couple 29s out there.
Stu. It was like, are you guaranteeing a Stu made cut?
What's the top am market look like? Like, who does he's the greatest mid am of all time. Like I don't
know what that
playing with. Looks in, like right yeah. Now. Okay. Anyway,
did you look at tee times?
No, I didn't.
And you don't know who's paired together?
No, I don't. And I have 1 minute before this next pod. So,
what was the best thing you ate?
What? Wait. Oh, how much time do you have, man? I'll tell them I'll be 5 minutes late. I don't even know if they've emailed me the link, but, I just got to say, man, like you can cause a hot take. Like the pimento cheese thing. I don't get it. Like, I don't understand why you would just get, you know, cold cheese on white bread when they have a phenomenal barbecue sandwich and they have a great chicken sandwich. And the one thing that I didn't try that I had like five sandwiches during the day. You go between holes, you're walking so much and you're just like, yeah, another barbecue sandwich sounds great. You just grab it and eat it real quick. But, the food's amazing, dude. It's like $1. So you can just walk around all day eating sandwiches and you probably burn it all off because you're walking 20,000 steps.
But, I can't believe you didn't see the tee times. It's Rory, Xander, Scotty.
Really?
And it's not a feature.
Are they playing in the afternoon or the morning?
No, they're playing at like 10:40.
Well, there's not even a real tee time stagger. Yeah. There's not a, yeah. You know, right?
So. No, but huge weather edge this week. Core is Rory, Finau, Stewie, and who's your third?
Core is, well, I can play Rory Scotty lineups with Stu. I will say this, like I'm doing a pretty even split between Scheffler, Rahm, and Rory at the top, and Finau, Cam Young, or Ludwig.
Who do you like in the sevens? Low sevens, then we'll get out of here.
Jaeger.
Jags?
I like Chris Kirk a lot.
Okay, I like both of those.
Yeah, Jaeger, Chris Kirk. What about Nick Taylor?
When is National Open?
Yeah.
Are we sure Nick Taylor's not a top?
Can I just ask you a quick question? I'm just trying to decipher. What do you think is the chalk that has the most possibility?
Couples chalk.
To end terribly. Connors, Henley, or Siwoo? I'm telling you, one of those guys is probably going to smash.
Siwoo.
One of those guys is going to end.
Siwoo, Connors, Henley. Actually, yeah. Henley. I'll go Henley. I think Henley.
I kind of like
because Henley. Like, I don't like he contended last year. Guys, the top 10 don't usually do well the next year, and I trust Henley. So I'm out.
Okay.
I do like Henley though.
Okay, who's your winner, Scotty?
Scotty's my winner.
Okay, I'll go Rory.
In the playoff.
But you're probably right. It's probably Scotty.
Greatly appreciate your time. Glad you had a good time at Augusta. Hope you have a great next 2 days. And
me and Kyle will be FaceTiming you a bunch from here.
Yeah, I'm an HH guy. I know HH. But everyone listen to IGP this week. Everyone check out the rabbit hole. Everyone sub to RPS. We'll see you next week for the Heritage. So I hope everyone has a good night.
All right. Later, buddy.